You know, God is an awesome God. We serve an awesome God. How many people realize we serve an awesome God? Amen? Amen. And one of the greatest joys in my heart is to see the growth of people. And I've known Mary Lou so much, and I know her children also, and I just am very blessed to see their growth and their maturity in God, and to be able to see Mary Lou come into the depths that she longs for. You know, Mary Lou has been a Christian for a very long time, but there was always this need of knowing more, and she has been able to get that here. A lot of unanswered questions and things of that nature were living inside of her, and she just needed closure and some clarity on what the meanings are, and what, you know, to be in a religion and not understand is a difficult thing. How many people would agree with that one? And to clarify about Jesus and all that. Could you imagine still coming to a place of saying, Jesus, come into my heart. You know, Jesus, come on into my heart. You know, and I just keep hearing the same verse from my, was it Saul? Help me out here. Was it Saul when he was brought up from the dead? And he was like, you know, what are you, Samuel. It was Samuel. He was brought up from the Spirit, not from the dead, but from the Spirit. And he was basically saying, what are you bothering me for? What do you want? What are you bothering me for? And I feel that's almost the same thing as, you know, when we're calling Jesus up, and, you know, he's like, what do you want? What are you bothering me for? And it never really rang in me when I was growing up. I've always heard the Christian, you know, church speak about this and all. And it just never sat well until one day my life was changed and I had an experience. And, you know, and in that experience, it was shown to me, go back and tell them about my Father. You know, Jesus was one who was a lamb slain. You know, he was in a representation of God's forgiveness and his love. It wasn't that he gave our sins. It was his example of laying his life down for the Father's will. And the Father's will is within inside of us. And, you know, it's a mystery, but it was given to us to know the mysteries. And it's important to know the mysteries so that you can live free. How many people realize that you have life inside of you living? Okay? And I had a discussion with Pastor Tim earlier today about how we have God inside, and each one of us have God, and God speaks his commandments and his words through his convictions. And we have to live that law that's written on our heart through our convictions. And everyone's convictions are different. So that's why there's no judgment in God's children, you know, because what God speaks to you may be different than speaking to your neighbor, but the love of God allows us all to live in unity. How many people understand that one? And that's the beauty about it, and it brings unity and love, and that's what God's desire is, that he would never bring division amongst anyone. And personally, I feel in my heart that there's too much division in the children of God. There's too much division, and I think moving forward, I hope and pray that this word gets out and brings unity to the world and puts away the division. Whether the division is going to stop, I don't know. But, you know, we can still keep on going and trying to bring the message of God and why God, and do away with judgment. We shouldn't judge at all. And if you have a passion to know God and love God, and you have a conviction on your heart, the mature people that are in God should honor that and see that conviction and encourage you and build you up and lift you up. And not try to tear you down or destroy your convictions and say, no, you're doing that wrong and you should be doing this and you should be doing that. How many people are understanding what I'm saying? Okay? And I think the world that we live in is going to be a better place. And is it going to happen? Well, maybe it might happen in your core, you know, to be able to get the same like mind and the same like spirit in your core to live free and to be able to lift people up and to get them into that place of oneness with God. This is one of the reasons why we're speaking these messages. Why God? And the world needs to understand why God. But the world's lost. They don't know God. They think he's over here on a mountain or in a church or in an organization or in a religion of some sort or another. But God dwells in each and every person. And that dwelling is your conviction. your heart. And, you know, I love Pastor Sam and a lot of things that he says. And one of the things that he normally says is, who are you listening to? Every time I hear that, I hear Sam's voice. Who are you listening to? And it's so true, because this is the base of my message today. Who are we listening to? And the truth is we should be listening to our inner core, the voice of God inside. We're so used to listening to our thoughts. Do you know that you're being directed and guided all day long? You're constantly asking questions. What should I do? Where should I go? What should I eat? What should I wear? I mean, you're constantly asking, and there's a voice inside your head telling you what you need to do. Well, those voices are forces of the world. And when Jesus said, I'm not of the world, I may be in the world, but not of the world, he was really meaning that I don't listen to the voices in my head. I listen to the voice that's in my heart. And you know, God's intentions for us is not to be worried about tomorrow, not be concerned about our life. So if we lay our life down, the voices shut up. How many people understand that? Those voices won't shut up until you lay your life down. And this is one of the main cores that when you come to the Lord, you have to die to self. You have to die. In order to die, you need to live. And there's a reason why we have to die. So the voices in our heads shut up. The will is strong. How many people understand the will of man, the will of a human being? Okay. It's all the will does is it tries to protect your flesh. It just tries to protect you. It just wants to make sure that you don't get hurt. And it begins to start saying all these futuristic scenarios. Oh, if you go over there, oh, you better get out of there. You better leave there. You better go here. You better da-da. It's just constantly bop, 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 trying to falsely protect you. And we bow down to this, and it's a lie. Because the will is an angel of light disguised. Okay? If I can try to clarify this. And the will, believe it or not, you think it's there to protect you, but in the reality of it, it's there to destroy you. Will builds you up in pride, and in God's eyes, he resists the proud. And he runs to the broken and humble ones. Well, the broken and humble ones are the ones who die to self, die to will, die to all the thoughts in your head that try to create imaginations. And we need to understand how to tear down those imaginations, because those imaginations are a lie. You don't know what tomorrow is going to bring. You, with imaginations, tend to judge. And when I was speaking to Tim earlier, I said, you know, the core of this ministry is that we don't judge. We don't judge ourselves, even though that we do look at ourselves and make sure that we're walking according to his will, but we don't judge in the sense of whether we're doing right or wrong, good or bad. We just look at our convictions. And what does our convictions say? And we need to follow our convictions. Hopefully and prayerfully, willingly, we're not walking with a lot of hurts, because hurts, again, power the will, because it's you want to protect yourself again. And in God, you shouldn't have to be concerned about protecting yourself. We want to be able to worship and bow down to God, and he is our protector. Why God? First of all, you can get through life in the power of will, but you're going to be tired. You can get through life with your power of will, but you're going to be unhappy. You're going to be empty. You're going to be wondering why all the time. And you're just going to be weary, heavy laden. And this is why God is, and his truth, and I'll get to the truth, because we have to stop the lies that are chatting, and that's in the will. But when we surrender the will and we lay it down, then we hear the voice of truth. And when we hear the voice of truth, the voice of truth says, throw your burdens on me. Lay your burdens down on me, and I'll give you rest. You give your cares to me, I will give you rest. And I believe that we need to renew our minds so that our hearts are established, so that we don't live in a heavy, weary, tired place. Now, it's one thing to know the truth, and then there's another thing to apply the truth. And, you know, this book here called the Holy Bible, which not many people around in some area, some nations know this, or have access to this book, but I always say, don't try to read this book, because this book is a mystery book. It's a book of light. You need to really have light in your heart. How many people have read this before and kind of was like, what? And it doesn't make sense. I don't really quite understand it. You know, you try to lead them to the New Testament, and you keep them out of the Old. And in the Old Testament, you hear nothing but wars and fights and history and all that other stuff. So it's a book that can bog you down and cause you to be heavy trying to figure out who God is through that book. But I'm a voice. This ministry is a voice. Pastor Tim, Pastor Sam, Pastor Kurt, myself, we're a voice to this ministry, and we're a voice to this book. And if you hear these voices, if you hear our words, you'll be free. You'll be set free. And in order to live free, you need truth. So going back to Sam, Pastor Sam, what voice are you listening to? It's very important to listen to this voice, the voice that I'm saying right now, the voice that comes out of Pastor Kurt's mouth, the voice that comes out of Pastor Sam's mouth, the voice that comes out of Pastor Tim's mouth, the voice that comes out of my mouth. That voice is the voice of truth. That voice is the voice of real reason to get you free, to set your life, to be able to break your will so that your will dies and comes to the unity of Christ, the unity of God. And it's not a religious base. Religion, you have to follow a law. And as the law is really death when you follow the law. How would you like to do something and your heart's really not into it? How does it make you feel? Miserable? You know? And we have to surrender it. Learning to know the voice inside is probably the greatest gift. But I'm going to tell you right now, be prepared, because it will test you in all kinds of challenges. It will cause you to go beyond your comfort zone. It's very difficult to live in the commandments of the Lord if your will's still living. If you surrender the will, it's not hard because you know what you need to do. Nobody has to tell you who God is, and nobody has to tell you right and wrong, good or bad. If you seek, you will find. It's a truth that is a mystery that most people don't really take the time to seek. And especially in today's world that we're living in, it's so fast, rush pace, that we don't have a time. We don't have the time to sit there for a moment and really come down to the truth, to really seek deep. And so I want to encourage us today to know that God's love is unconditional. He cares for us very, very deeply. He has a plan for you. We have to kill the will and stop protecting the flesh, so to say, and lay our lives down. Lay our lives down in a place where we can say to ourselves, I'm going to trust in you, God. I'm going to trust in you. I don't know how this is going to unfold, but I'm going to trust in you. How many of us right now are facing challenges? Think about it. Okay. And the question that I have for you is, are you dealing with the challenge, or are you casting your burdens on him so that you have rest? Because his ultimate plan for you will unfold. The more you throw your cares to him, the more you cast your cares to my God, our God in this ministry, and this God is literally the God of faith. Doesn't exist until you bring him into your life. It's a faith. No one has ever seen God. You know, that's what they say. No one has ever seen God. But, you know, there's a point where you do see God. You know, you see God through the signs and the wonders and the miracles that he does in your life, where he opens up a door where there's no way that door could open up, where, you know, an opportunity comes to you and no way could that opportunity have come to you, where your needs are supplied and no way could he match those needs, you know, or anyone could match those needs other than the supernatural God that we serve. And this God comes by faith, and it also comes by you laying your life down, by you laying your cares down, by you saying, okay, Lord, here it is, and not be troubled. That mystery in itself has so much power, more power than you can imagine with your mind. See, you have a willpower. How many people understand willpower? You got to get up, you force yourself to do it, you know, and, you know, you make it happen. And, you know, sometimes we put ourselves in the grave forcing that stuff to happen. I mean, has anyone ever really labored hard and got to the point where it's like your body is just killing yourself and you're just trying to figure out when to stop? When do you just stop? You know, how many people have ever felt that way? Man, I could remember having my work boots on from the time I woke up to the time I got to, you know, went to sleep. I slept with them, and there were some nights where I didn't even take them off. I find my wife untying them and slipping them off for what? Another 2 more hours, and then I got to pop them right back on. But yeah, there's a point in your life where you have to say, you know, God, you're going to have to meet my need here. God, you're going to have to do it. And I think the faster we surrender to will, I think the faster he meets our needs. There's a power that we have, the willpower. But you can only go so far with that. And then there's another power that kicks in, that does all over and above, beyond what you can comprehend or imagine. That's the truth. When I hear Sam's voice, what voice are you listening to? Oh, you know how powerful that is? Because I know in myself, in my own life, I speak of my own testimonies. We only overcome by the word of our testimony. And I stand here and confess my testimony. And I hear the voice of reason. What voice are you listening to? Lay your will down and let God do supernatural things in our life. And as soon as you do it, I promise you, he shows up. Those things we're fighting, but the battle belongs to the Lord. He's asking for his people to stop fighting. God's message today is, hear my voice. Don't listen to that other voice that is so quickly chattering into your head, causing you to feel as though that you have to do it all. And then we weary ourselves down through worry and just labor, and we labor in vain. You know, God is really working on my heart. And I'll tell you what, it's completely opposite of what I'm normally used to. It's completely, you know, going from black to white. It's just, there's no gray in the middle here. And we need to be able to follow the leading of the Lord and lay our life down in his will and his ways. But one of the truths is that we hold on to his love. We fall short of God's love. And the way we fall short of God's love is we begin to grab onto the cares again. As soon as we begin to hold on to the cares, and we, our will feels that we have to get involved and get labored out again and frustrate ourselves and start getting our joy and our peace taken away. I'm not saying go sit on the couch and leave the world behind. I'm saying leave your cares behind. Don't let the joy be stolen from you. Don't let the peace be stolen from you. If your heart is saying, I'm having enough, I need a moment off, then take the moment. Don't argue with the fact that, well, I got to pay this electric bill, or I got to get over here and take care of this, and I got to do this, and I got to do... You're involved. And your will is now destroying your life. When God is saying, I want to show myself to you. My life is in you, and my love is great. And I want to show my life in you. But I can't if your will is just blocking me. And has anyone ever been blocked before? You know, you want to get a date or something, and you know, you're making inroads, and next thing you know, this other one comes in and, hey, how you doing? And just blocks you right out. That's almost like what the will does with God. God is a very gentle, meek, loving individual, if I can describe his personality, who longs and loves you so, so much and wants to have that life with you. But then you got this arrogant will that just jumps in all the time when the intimacy starts. And it's just like, hey, how you doing? I'm here. And just takes the whole conversation and the whole relationship away. And this is what we're battling. You know, God wants that intimate relationship with us. And, you know, and he's just this mild, little, meek, you know, individual, but, you know, awesome in power and greatness, but not forcing himself on you. And if we can learn the kindness and the love that is in God, and then the power and the might that is goes alongside of it, my God, we have such the perfect relationship. And this is what we're building here, is that perfect relationship, the oneness with God, so that we and our lives can live free. How many of us want to live free? How many of us are really sick and tired of having the will come in and get in between you and that love of your life, you know? And we got to kick the will out. We got to say, yo, Will, come on. I think it's time for you to just hit the road so that we can have this relationship together. And when we establish this relationship, there's a great peace that comes, a peace that surpasses all understanding, and everything that you desire comes to pass. How often do we fight? Think about it. We have problems. Every day there's a problem. How many people would agree with me here? Amen. How many would agree with me over there listening on in the World Wide Web? Come on, let's be real. Every day there's a problem. But in God, there's no problem. We just simply give it to him. This is what it means by casting your cares upon him, and I'll give you rest. Okay, Lord, here you go. You know, lead me, guide me, give me joy, make it happen. And he does. I believe a lot of the reasons why things don't happen in our life is because we never took it to the next stage. We never took it to the next level. We were confessing with our lips, but our heart is far from it. How many of you have heard that before? And so we need to bring our heart to that place. So our heart isn't troubled. What voice are we listening to? What is talking to us? We need more truth in our lives. And the greatest truth that can ever be put inside of us is God loves us. It's a simple but yet powerful truth. I know with my children, and I love using them as an example, they don't have a care in the world because they know that their father's there. They know that their father loves them and that they would make sure that their needs are taken care of. And they lack nothing. In their heart, they lack nothing. And I believe this was the saying that's in this book called the Holy Bible. Come unto me like a little child, and I'll give you rest. You know, come unto me like a little child. And I think there's a mystery there. We need to come unto him like a little child. We got to say, Dad, you're supposed to take care of my needs. You're supposed to be taking care of the things so that I can have rest. I personally feel, there's a question out there. Why God? And am I serving the right God? Well, for one, we need God. Why? Because the willpower has only so much power. You can't sustain. You can't uphold. The willpower will eventually burn out. It will be done. You can't do it. No way can you do it. Eventually, there's a level where you say, I quit. Has anyone ever reached that point? Okay. And then we finally start crying out, help. Sometimes we turn to other people. And there's going to be a big disappointment there, I guarantee you. Because that's just the way it is. But you'll never be disappointed with God. Never. And as soon as you begin to cry out and ask for help, supernaturally, he comes in. Supernaturally, God comes in. The reason why I feel as though that I have to beg you to give the opportunity is because, for one, it's impossible to see something like that. Yeah, how is God going to come in my life and take care of my needs? How is this going to happen? It's like asking the air over there to come and take care of your need. I understand the difficultness in trying to get God to supply your need. It's something that doesn't exist. God does not exist. In our eyes, in the world, he does not exist. There has to be a point where he begins to exist. And as soon as you begin to develop that in your heart, he exists. It's like bringing the invisible man alive. The invisible man isn't alive until he moves. If he's just sitting there, he doesn't exist. How many people have ever seen that movie, The Invisible Man? All of a sudden you see he puts a hat on his head and he's wearing gloves and he has some clothes on. And next thing you know, he's moving around. And he exists. But as soon as you take off the clothes and the hat and the gloves and everything else, the clothes fall on the floor, and all of a sudden, he doesn't exist. Well, this is what I feel as though we are. When we're in the world, there's no clothes on God. There's no truth on God. There's nothing to make him for who he is. So he doesn't exist. But when we come out of the world and we begin to renew our minds and we stop listening to the voices, all of a sudden God has the hat on, he has the suit on, he's got the gloves on, and you can see the whole entire being, and he exists. How many of us are following us? And I believe that this is what God, his message today is. Allow me to exist in your life. Put on this truth. It's like the words of reason with our head. You know, the voices of what we're listening to is like taking all of God's clothes off and he's invisible and we can't see him. and he doesn't exist. We got to bring God into existence. I speak, why God? Because he's the power to keep us alive. He's our lifeline. Without God, you can only live so long. You don't have eternal life without God. God is the one that gives us eternal life. And eternal life is here now. Has anyone ever lived to the point where they feel dead? I mean, literally. When you get to that point of hopelessness, there's a world out there that is walking dead, that they have no hope whatsoever. They can't breathe. They're done. I thank God that we have hope. We have a life. We have something to hold on to. You know, there are people in our lives and around us, and I feel it's so important to share this, that they're dying too, and we don't even see it. We have loved ones that are right next to us who have no hope at such a young age and is dying because of no God. We have situations in our lives and in our loved ones and in our families that are around us, and they're dying because they don't know God. They're giving up and they haven't even started. I look around and I see a generation that has given up because of things. For one, it's so expensive. Another thing is they don't have any economy out there to get a job. They're up in their heads with debt. One of the things that I see that drowns people is money. And Sam always says, Pastor Sam used to always say, it's the love of money is the root of all evil. And it's so true, because we need it to live. And so we love it because we have to live. I love it because it gives me life. But it steals our life. And I see it in a generation right now that it's dying. And eventually, because of no life. My heart goes out. My heart goes out to this generation. My heart goes out to a generation that's slightly under me. And my heart goes out to my generation because of the labor intensified world that we live in right now. It's killing us. And if we're going to continue to live in the world, it's going to wipe us out. We're going to be labored down to nothing. But we have to learn how to rest. We have to learn to let God work things out. We have to let God do things in our lives so that he will supply our need. How many of us today, right now, are worried about our financial situation? Well, I'm going to say you have every right to feel that way. But don't let it trouble you. Because my God, our God, wants to do supernatural things in your life. He wants to take care of your need. One of the promises that he emphasizes when I read this book, and I know his love, is that he'll take care of your need. Why are we struggling with this so much? You know, I look at certain individuals that I want to say have handicaps. And what I mean by handicaps is I'm not talking about, you know, some are fortunate, some are misfortunate. Some are very bright and brilliant, and some aren't very bright and brilliant. And you look at some people and say, how did those ever make it through life? Has anyone ever seen those individuals? Yes. And you say to yourself, how does that person make it in a world like this today? That's because of God. God loves that person too. God cares for that person. We're the dummies. We're the ones that aren't letting God live in our lives like that. Our intellectual knowledge in our thing is looking at the one who is less fortunate, so to say. And we're more fortunate because we got the brains. And we say to them, how do they make it? How do they live? How do they do it? I'm sure you got people in your life like I do. And there are individuals that I scratch my head and say, oh my goodness, that is incredible. Truly, God loves everyone. I'm just being real. You know, if I can't be real, then, you know, I shouldn't be up here, because we all should be transparent. And I have to say to myself, when I look at that individual, am I jealous? Am I jealous? I must be jealous. I envy and I have jealousy because I'm over here racking my head, living in torment, and this one over here is just woohooing away through life. I got righteous indignation. That's right. And I got to get out of it. I got to repent. Because God loves me too. You know, there's a message that it says, it's better not to know me than to know me and be lukewarm. I can understand what it is not to know him. But yet at the same time, I understand what it is not to know him and be in torment too. So what I'm saying is, let us take this head of ours off. Stop listening to the words of supposedly reason. Taking this intellectual head off. How many people are following me here? Sometimes being too smart is bad. Real bad. It's very bad. It's very, very bad. Now, I'm not saying to be dumb. Educate yourself. Be knowledgeable. But don't let the knowledge destroy your love for God. You know, there are some very brilliant people out there in the world who are anti-God. They have reasoned them completely out of the picture. It doesn't exist. Well, I feel sad for that individual. Because he's existing in his intelligence, and his intelligence can only go so far. You got to have some faith somewhere. You got to create God somewhere. Because not only do you have this life, but you have a life after death. I wonder what the intelligent mind says about that one. I guess maybe there's a reincarnation of some sort or another, or fabricated some type of life. But the reality is, our spirit goes on. Our spirit goes on and on and on. You know, my viewpoint has changed dramatically within the last year or so. And I'm realizing that you really need to lose your life in aspects and levels that I never ever thought that I'd ever enter into. Because God has a plan for you, and it may not be what you think. But we have to lay our lives down to it. And when we finally lay our life down to it, there's a peace that comes that I can't explain. There's a joy that comes, you know, after you get done tearing down the imaginations. These imaginations in our head really stink. They are our worst enemy. They are probably the worst thing that we can live with. And it will tear your heart out. If we can just tear these things down and learn how to tear them down, and trust in the love of God, and hold on to it tight, and never let it go. I guarantee these things shall pass and you will be well off. Everything is going to be met and you are going to be bewildered of how he made it all happen.
Amen.
But the biggest thing is tearing them down. And you know what? You can't do it in your own strength. And God, if he really truly loves you, which he does, and if you're listening to this message and you're here today, I guarantee he's breaking your will. I guarantee he's taking you through the fire to show you that you are weak and you need him, because he loves you very, very much. My main saying long ago was, I'm sorry. When I met you, I would say, I'm sorry. Because I know the love of God is going to kill your will and take you to levels and places where you almost just do not want to go. So when I look at each and every one of you here and those that are listening, I say, I'm sorry. Because your will is going to be broken. Your will is going to, because he's a jealous God. And he won't have any other things before him. And the quicker we surrender to him, the better off we are. Release judgment in our heart, that righteous indignation, get rid of it. Release all the judgment. Let it all go. Scratch your head like I do. And say, interesting. And just continue to live the life that you need to live. Embrace the love of God. And you will see that he will surpass all understanding. This ministry here, we lead you to the water. I hope and pray that if you drink this water, you'll never go thirsty again. But I can't make you drink. But I can earnestly cry out in my heart and say, please, listen to these words, because I'm a testimony. That's all I am, is a testimony of his works. And it's true, or I would never stand here and confess it. Do we all burn? Oh, yeah. And I'm sure my burning isn't over yet. I got a lot more to go. But let's burn together. Let's encourage one another together to have that relationship with God and not worry about tomorrow, because tomorrow is going to work out itself. Everything's going to be okay. Most of our devastation and our concerns is about what's going to happen with our life tomorrow. How are we going to do this and how are we going to do that? How are we going to make ends meet? Where am I going to go? Who's going to take care of me when I get older? You know, all these concerns. But God has a plan. He's got everything worked out. I'm sure I knew a man who was wonderful and great. And I'm sure there was a big concern. Who's going to take care of me? I'm alone. And look what happened. God showed up and took care of him. That's how he works. And so we need to understand these things and realize that God's going to show up and he'll take care of all your need. There's nothing to worry about. You're beating yourself up. And I have to ask myself, why? And I know why. And you have every right to feel this way. So there's no condemnation here. Because I know what it's like to live in the world, so to say. But we need to come out. And the way to come out, and the simple way to come out of the world, is say, I'm going to receive your love, God. I know you love me. I just have to receive it. Allie, who I love so much, Pastor Tim's wife, she sent me a text. It was about these people. This person taking video of people. just saying how beautiful they are. And you should see the response. A lot of them were like, get out of my face, leave me alone. And they don't realize how beautiful they are. And in God's eyes, we're all beautiful. And if we could just receive that, it amazed me on how many people rejected the fact that they're beautiful. Must have been about 90 of them or 100 of people that were interviewed, and mostly all of them said, get out of here. Is this our conscience towards God? Is this how we feel? Well, maybe we need to change the way we're thinking. Maybe we should accept the fact that He loves us. Maybe we should just look at that person who is saying that you're beautiful and just say, okay, thank you. And then I believe at that point when we say, yes, Lord, our circumstances are going to change. It's when we push the camera away, when we deny the love of God, that's when things don't change. That's when our life doesn't turn around. But if I want to leave today with a message, something that you're going to hold on to and be simple to understand, just receive that you're beautiful. Just receive that He loves you. And until then, your life will never change. You'll always see yourself a certain way. And what you think in your heart, so it will manifest. And you'll never get the desires of your heart. But until you say yes and receive the love of God, He'll fill every need and every desire that is inside of you. So let us all just bow our heads for a moment. I want to just close. Lord, I ask, as You've given me the revelation of how beautiful I am and how much You love me and care for me, let that same revelation fall on us today. Let it deepen in our hearts to know that Your love for us, despite what we think, what we say, what we do, despite all of our natural senses of our judgments, Your love for us is unconditional. Your love for us is so caring and kind, and You know our needs. Set us free in this area, I pray. Amen and amen. I'm going to ask Brother Sam if he would close us. And I just want to bless all of you here and challenge you. Amen.
Real quick. There are two truths always operating, and they're both truths. One truth leads to life, one truth leads to death. But rest assured, they're both truths. One truth is a heavenly truth, the other truth is an earthly truth. The earthly truth says, don't step in front of a bus because you'll get run over. The worldly truth says, don't invest that money, you might lose it. Worldly truth always has conditions on it. This is going to happen if you do this. This is going to happen if you do this. Where God's truth is just there to set us free from the lies that we create. See, it's not our will. It's just floating truth out there. We're just vessels. If you separate yourself from the truths, see, whatever truth you choose, you are. If you choose to follow God's truth, or if you choose to follow the world's truth, that's what you are. One's leading to destruction, one is creating life in you. And pastor's message was right on the money, because we here give you the truth, the weapon. See, we have to stay in these messages, and we keep saying it, because we've been ingrained our whole lives. Some of us are 40, 50 years old. All we've heard our whole lives is worldly truth, and that's all we know. And it's nothing wrong with that. Just recognize it. There's nothing, it's not you. It's just floating truth. They're just floating out there. It's not who you are. Stop taking possession of these things that you're listening to. You're just choosing to follow a truth that you've heard. Maybe you didn't hear the truth about God in that circumstance yet. Or maybe you didn't hear it enough where you can apply it. That's what we do here. That's our job, is to give you the truth, to give you the weapons to battle against the will or the truth of the world. Because the truth of the world's never going to work. So that's what we're here to do. And if you hop on these messages over and over and over and over, your foundation will start developing, and all you're going to know then is this truth. See, your mind can only comprehend so much. You can't just keep shoving stuff in. You're going to forget eventually what you've learned before if you keep replacing what you've learned with new truth. You have to create a foundation. That's our job. This gospel takes an effort on your part. Amen. This isn't a passive gospel. This is a gospel that says you have to apply the truth in order to create your foundation. See, you can create a foundation of God's truth. The creation of the world's truth will just keep knocking it down. You'll never create anything. You'll just keep getting knocked down and knocked down. I keep trying and I keep failing. Everything I do, I'm so depressed. I'm so worked up. I'm so anxious. I'm so fearful. Of course, that's your foundation. Because you've been listening to that lie your whole life, or that truth of the world your whole life, for 30, 40, 50 years. We have to take a sledgehammer. What does it say? It says take an axe to the root. Take an axe to the root, to uproot the old truth. And as we dig into these messages and listen to them over and over and over, faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. He's speaking through these messages over and over and over and over. And it's truth upon truth. And it's giving you weapons to battle. Otherwise, we can't win. The truth of the world will destroy us. But the truth of God will create more than you could ever ask or imagine. And the best thing you're going to have is peace. What's better than peace? Aren't we sick of having no peace? Tossed to and fro with every wind of doctrine that comes into our head. Oh my God, she's mad at me now. Oh, what did I do? Oh my God, oh, I can't. Oh. Who cares? You can control one thing in this world, and that's you. We keep saying it's over and over, yet we still try to control everybody around us. Why don't they like me? Why don't they hire me? Why? With God, it's just yes and amen. Okay, Father, what's next? I didn't get that one. What's next? You got something better for me around the corner. Somebody better for me around the corner. They don't deserve you. You are royalty of God. He has hand-chosen your path of your life, and he said, here it is. It's beautiful. It's peaceful. It's more than you could ever ask or imagine if you just rest in me. He's right. Growing up, when I sat at home in my parents' house, if I sat there all day long, they would come in screaming at me, get up off your butt and get outside. What are you doing laying in here being lazy? What are you doing laying in here? Who do you think you are? You just lay around the house all day long. And you get that in your head. When you take a day off from work and you sit there, you hear that voice in your head still. Am I right or wrong? So what voice are we listening to? We have to create a new foundation, a new foundation of truth. Because when we have a foundation, you stop battling. And the truth starts setting you free. It starts setting you free because it's you. You become your foundation. What you believe, you are. He said, if you only believe you're saved, if you only believe, so he's saying if you only go out there and save millions, if you only pray on your face 6 hours a day, if you only believe you're saved, how easy is this gospel? It's not difficult. We make it so difficult because we still have the lies in our mind from the world's truth that we still try to listen to. Because we haven't taken the time to listen to the messages. We haven't done our job. We haven't done our part. He's asking for a little bit of effort on our part. 30 minutes a day. 30 minutes a day, and you could have the rest of your week peace, the rest of your day peace every day. 30 minutes every other day. Okay, we'll negotiate. But give him something. Don't struggle all week long and say, I don't know what's happening. I don't know why I can't get out of this. Well, I'll tell you why. Because you're not living in truth. The foundation you're standing on is the truth of the world, and that's taking your peace and your joy and causing destruction in your life. That's why. We can't make it any easier. The messages are right there. Listen to them. That's it. This is so easy. Don't complicate it. He said this. Be careful. Be careful that you don't fall short of the rest of God. That you don't find the rest of God. That you don't have rest. Rest. Where God ceased from his labors on the seventh day and he rested on the seventh day. That's important. We'll speak a message on that one day, but there's a reason why he rests on the seventh day. Because the things he created in the 6 days, on the seventh day when he rested, put those 6 days in motion. Those 6 days didn't go into motion until he rested and he believed in what he did. Then, boom. We have to find a place of rest and stop laboring and trying to create through our own manipulation and control. It's not good. But I thank God for this message today. I thank God for the website that we have and the truth that we had to battle. That's all we need. That's all we need. It's very easy. If it was complicated, we wouldn't get it. Look at us. We're simple people. But we get it because we came as little children. And I think we are little children. I love it. I don't care. So, amen. And anything you want to say? Amen. Have a great day, guys.
Amen. Let's give the Lord a hand of praise. Amen. Greet someone with a hug and all that other stuff, and be blessed and stay tuned. Continue to log on. And relationship is the biggest key. So those that don't have my number, please grab my number. I'd love to be talking to you throughout the week. And be blessed. Amen. Amen.